As a sponsor of the podcast, TAP Sleep Care wants to show you their studies. If you're hesitant in trying oral appliance therapy, go with one you can trust. Backed by over 45 independent peer-reviewed studies, TAP is the most researched custom oral appliance in the world with the best patient outcomes. It's not just a marketing slogan, it's real data that you can trust. Visit tapintosleep.com for a full list of studies and to find a provider near you. That's tapintosleep.com. On this podcast, we discuss medical diagnoses and procedures. All of the guests express their own opinions. You should always seek medical advice from a trained and credentialed professional when making decisions about your own health. Welcome to the Sleep Apnea Stories podcast. I'm Emma Cooksey, and I've been coping with sleep apnea since childhood. I didn't know anyone in my life with a sleep disorder, so I decided to start this podcast. I'm here to build community and provide a platform for people with sleep apnea to tell their stories. Together, we can shatter stereotypes and raise awareness. We'll be exploring all sorts of treatment options and lifestyle choices to help you live your best life with sleep apnea. This is Sleep Apnea Stories, and I'm so glad you're here. Hey everyone, it's Emma Cooksey here, and I'm your host. So, if you're listening to the episode the day that it comes out, we're expecting Hurricane Ian here in Florida. I'm in Northeast Florida, so by the time it gets to us, it's probably gonna, you know, be a much less serious storm, but we're still taking it seriously over here, and we're doing lots of hurricane prep and making sure we have, you know, flashlights with batteries that work and all that kind of stuff. My kids just found out they have 3 days off of school this week, so they're delighted. So I'm just hoping that we can hold on to power so that we have all of our electronics on hand. But seriously, for people that are more affected by the storm, like, I'm sending you lots of love, and I hope that you don't have damage and you can stay safe. So today's guest is from a company called EnzoData, and I've met a number of people that work for them, so we'll talk a little bit about what they do in a minute, but I just wanted to say a really big thank you to Stephen from EnzoData. He wrote a really nice article for their blog. So I'm going to go and link to that in the show notes, and you guys can go and have a read of that article he wrote about me and the podcast and everything. I really appreciate the help in getting the word out about the podcast. So EnzoData is a healthcare technology company that's automating the scoring and analysis process for both in-lab and home sleep apnea testing. So today's guest is Sandy Smith, who works for EnzoData as the Director of National Accounts. So I was interested to have Sandy on the podcast to talk just about EnzoData and what they're doing. But also, I knew that Sandy had her own personal journey with sleep apnea, and especially the loss of her mother with what seems like undiagnosed sleep apnea. And it's a really tragic story, but I really appreciate Sandy taking the time and having the courage to share that with people, because I know that whenever we do episodes where somebody has lost a loved one, I always get people, you know, sending me messages saying that, you know, this was the sign they needed to go and get tested for sleep apnea. So I hope that if you're listening to this and you haven't had a sleep test and you don't know if you have sleep apnea, but you suspect you do, I hope that you will take that step and go and get your sleep test. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Sandy Smith from EnzoData. So Sandy, welcome.
Thank you.
I actually got to meet you in Charlotte at the sleep conference, which was so nice because normally I
Super
don't get to
lovely.
actually meet people before I talk to them. So I'm really glad you're here. So we'll
Me
get on
too.
to a little bit about why you're at the sleep conference and Enzo Data, the company that you work with. But I
Okay.
wondered if first you might want to tell us a little bit about where you are right now, maybe a little bit about where you grew up, that kind of thing.
Sure. So I was born and raised in where I live now, which is Tempe, Arizona. I'm the youngest of six, and
Oh gosh.
I know. Say a little prayer. But I got away with a lot because hence I was the youngest. So yeah, I was born and raised in Arizona and moved to Seattle to go to college after my mom died, hence is my story. And then came back about 13, 14 years later. And now I'm back in Arizona where I have a family.
You want to tell us a little bit about your family, like obviously before your mom passed, like so there were six children. Did your mom have any health problems, or was this whole thing just out of the blue?
You know, looking back, right? Looking back is always interesting. She always snored. I thought it was normal up until I started to get into sleep apnea because that's what people do is they snore, right? It's the norm. And I was, again, young. And the night before, I was the only one living at home. The rest of my siblings have gone off to work or school or what have you. And my mom came up to me and said, "You know, San, I don't have any feeling in my left arm." And I knew a little bit. I'm like, "Well, mom, let me take you to the doctor." She's like, "No, I'll be fine." I'm like, "Okay." And it was spring break, so I was out with my friends. And the next morning, I was
And you,
listening to a
sorry, what age were you then?
17.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're out with your friends.
Sure. So came back, and of course it was spring break, and it was March 10th. And I heard a thump, and I ran into her room, and she had fallen over. So I started CPR. Called 911, and they came in. And I won't bore you with the details, but I should have walked out of the room. I saw things that I probably will never forget. And they called at 10:56. So,
And
you
you
know,
were
as
the only
always,
other one in the house at that point?
I was when I called 911 and started CPR, I didn't really know what I was doing. I thought I did. So for a long time after, I thought, oh my gosh, it was my fault. At that point, I was told she died of a stroke,
Okay.
and that was it.
Which kind of made sense when she was talking the day before about having the numbness in her arm.
Yeah, but I didn't know, right? I
Yeah.
know now,
Yeah, yeah,
right?
yeah.
That's why I'm with Insodata, and I'm passionate about sleep because 80% of the patient population are underdiagnosed.
Yeah.
Why is that? Why is
Yeah.
that? Could we prevent all the comorbidities, the stroke, the heart attack, the dementia, the Alzheimer's? Not only the cost associated with it,
Yeah.
but the mental anguish, right? You're not sleeping. You're snoring
Right.
for a reason. It's not normal.
Yeah.
So when I became older and started become into medical, I started learning what that is, what sleep apnea is.
This episode is sponsored by Bleep Sleep. Hair loss and breakage, not being able to follow a nightly skincare routine, cuts and sores in your nose, daily cleaning, and dry eyes. These are just a few of the discomforts many of you struggle with from wearing your CPAP mask. Say goodbye to bulky headgear and uncomfortable straps. Eclipse by Bleep Sleep fits the exact shape of your nose to ensure zero leaks. Just a great night's sleep. Eclipse is easy to apply and quick to remove. It won't leave marks on your face because it's the only maskless CPAP solution on the market. You can sleep on your back, side, or stomach without constricting your movement or anything getting in the way. If you're ready for a maskless CPAP solution that's EMA approved, FDA cleared, and covered by Medicare and most major insurances, visit my show notes for a link to give Bleep Sleep's Eclipse a try. So did they change what they thought she had died from after, or you just kind of put it together later in your life?
The second, I could be way off, right? I could be wrong because I can't go back in time and
Right.
change her death certificate. But what I do now know is all the signs of stroke, and the prevalence of snoring,
Yeah.
points in that direction.
Yeah.
So.
But thank you for sharing that, because I think that these kind of stories, even though it's really tragic and pretty traumatic to talk about, I always feel like whenever I interview somebody who's lost a loved one, I always hear from people who say, I've never thought about actually getting tested for sleep apnea, but I snore too, and I have all those symptoms. And so I really appreciate you being open enough to talk about it.
I will, tell you my age. I just turned 53. And I tell you that because I haven't shared my story in about 30 years. I just, it was hard.
Yeah.
And I think, gosh, I'm 53. I have two kids. And I thought at the time, she's like old. I don't think I'm old, so my
I
mindset
know.
has changed. But I say that because I'm 53 and I've never ever worked for a company that cares more about outcomes and patients and the delivery of healthcare like no other. Unless I decide to, do something else, or I think I'm going to retire here. It's a wonderful
Yeah.
company and to your point, fun, but Insodata is a healthcare technology company. We actually reduce the amount of time it takes for sleep professionals to review and to return a sleep test to the patient. And, why is that important for me is because we all know, or maybe you don't, 80% of sleep apnea patients are not diagnosed.
Oh yeah.
And it's scary. We have sleep test scoring software where we do use artificial intelligence, right? We read to analyze the waveforms captured in sleep tests done both at home and in sleep labs. And the great thing is, currently we're in more than 500 sleep labs in the United States. We do help clinicians more easily diagnose sleep disorders, for not just, gosh,
And
I
more
think we.
quickly, because I think that that's one of the things that I talk to people all the time about is they'll say, well, I got in to do a sleep study, but it's not for, months out, just because there's not really enough. It depends where you are in the country and the world, right? But there just don't seem to be, enough of the testing facilities to go around. So the quicker they can get through them, I think the better for patients.
Well, you're spot on. It seems so simple, right? Many organizations have a scoring backlog. COVID didn't help, but that's
Yeah.
still no excuse to some point. So this delay in testing, and the lengthy delays, I should say, in patients receiving the results from their
Yes.
study, is tremendous, right? Because it really, depending on what your AHI is, anything above a 5, 15, or 30, that's going to determine your disease state
Yeah.
and the outcome. Do you need an oral appliance? Do you need a CPAP? What is the high risk? So we can easily treat you more effectively. I've had some hospital systems that I've been working with where they have a 6-month backlog. And
So
my.
just to explain to people who don't know anything about how sleep tests are scored, the old way of, or the normal regular way of doing it was to have a sleep tech actually, manually go through the score, right? Like they would actually sit with the screen and they'd mark down what the HI was. And so what you're doing is replacing all that time that it would take a person to do it with a software program.
You're exactly right. And It's interesting because we still compare our artificial intelligence scoring against human scoring clinicians, and we have about an
For
85%
accuracy, probably, yeah.
accuracy, right? So we're not going to replace these clinicians, but we're doing it in much quicker time. Instead of 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour to 2 hours to score one test, because there's so many metrics, right? Rapid eye movement, leg movement, how many times you stop breathing. And we can typically do it, whether in lab or home, anywhere between 8 to 15 minutes. So that's significant. Our marketing team put together something brilliant where it resonated with me, especially being a mom, and a working mom. What would you do with more time? Let's find more patients that we can help. How many more patients could we help? Could we diagnose? And if we do that, could we prevent all the other comorbidities, stroke, because it exacerbates, right, in the disease state? So that's my mission, is to educate these clinicians, the hospitals, test more patients and get early detection, because we are doing it and we're killing it with profound accuracy.
This episode is sponsored by Vivos Therapeutics. Do you wake up feeling tired or exhausted? Are you struggling to sleep using a CPAP? If you have mild to moderate OSA, there is a better way to help you sleep and, more importantly, breathe at night. It's the Vivos Method from Vivos Therapeutics. The Vivos Method is a non-invasive and non-surgical treatment provided by dentists and medical providers. This natural approach works by expanding the oral cavity, which may result in a larger airway, allowing you to breathe and sleep more deeply at night. More importantly, the Vivos method may create a long-term change in the health of your airway, which could alleviate the need for CPAPs. But don't just take our word for it. Over 27,000 patients worldwide have used the Vivos method to treat their mild to moderate obstructive sleep apnea and are now enjoying a more restful quality of sleep. If you're ready to potentially ditch your CPAP and enjoy a better quality of sleep, simply go to vivos.com/patients. Take a quick online assessment and you'll be directed to a provider near you. That's vivos.com/patients. So the thing that I find quite interesting, I was talking to Nick, one of your co-founders, but he explained to me all about how the scoring at the moment, if they're not using this kind of software, can sometimes get an AHI not quite correct because it's not taking into account how much of the night you're awake. Like they're kind of saying, like, I don't know how to explain that better, but like if somebody's actually awake for 40 of the minutes of the hour, and then they have a bunch of events after that in the 20 minutes, then your software is saying that they had that number of events in 20 minutes rather than an hour.
Well, it
Whereas it,
skews the diagnosis. If
yeah,
how do you know you're asleep, right?
massively, yeah.
How do you know that from a 5 to 35?
Yeah.
That's a game changer. That's a life changer. We have, total sleep time, which we have. Each of us, we have a very specific breathing and respiratory characteristics when we fall asleep. Most people breathe more slowly when they're asleep, meaning breathing events, out with each successive stage of sleep. So research shows that when we breathe faster and more, erratically during the rapid eye movement sleep stage, that's when we dream. And the amazing thing about what we're doing and our engineers is we took thousands and thousands of studies with both EEG and airflow respiratory signals and trained our wake sleep algorithm, because that's what artificial intelligence is, to point to recognize what the breathing patterns look like in different stages of sleep versus awake. So the wake sleep algorithm is literally looking at each individual waveform, and usually, well, we use the algorithm, to make a cumulative view on wake versus sleep prediction. So, and we, like I said, we've tested this algorithm on a separate patient database. And we have about 90% agreement with the EEG based staging, which is pretty profound.
Because I think this is going to help to kind of get to the root of why, like, I've talked to so many people with sleep apnea, and I feel like people's experiences vary tremendously. Like, people can have been told that they have, this AHI of a certain number, and their experience of having sleep apnea is completely different from somebody else who has the same AHI. And I think, like, the more we know about what's happening when people are asleep and their arousals and all these different things, the more we can kind of understand it and hopefully treat it better.
Well, when your AHI changes from, say, a 25 to 35, based when you move from a moderate to severe diagnosis, that's going to change your treatment pathway.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to your point, people think football players, big neck, fat, overweight, middle class, 50-year-old male. No, that's not true. My son actually had sleep apnea, very underdeveloped jaw. You're gasping for air. Roman wasn't as severe, so he had treatment with an oral appliance and is still in treatment. His growth hormones
How
were, and
old was he when you first noticed that?
14,
Oh, wow. And
14
was
years
he
old.
snoring and everything as well?
Yes.
Yeah.
But
So I'm
again,
sh
I thought it was normal.
yeah. And so what did you go straight to the oral appliance, or did he have a sleep test, or what happened with him?
We did a sleep test, of course. I wanted factual information. I wanted to see his airway. I wanted him to get tested, how many times he stopped breathing. His AHI was not as severe, but enough to where he needed treatment. It took about 2 years of treatment. Here's something else that I don't know if it's relevant, but it was relevant to me. Since sleep apnea is a medical condition, insurance will pay for a portion of oral appliances, and you know that.
It's
And so,
absolutely relevant. We talk about this all the time.
if you get diagnosed early, what's the cost associated with that? And what's the cost associated with it so severe, separate from, you're going to die in your sleep? That's literally scary.
This episode of Sleep Apnea Stories is sponsored by BetterHelp. How well we look after our mind really affects how we experience life. Therapy has been so helpful to me since I was diagnosed with sleep apnea. It helped me to work through the feelings I had about going undiagnosed for so long. It also helped me to adjust to living with a chronic condition. One of the best things about starting my podcast has been realizing I'm not alone in coping with mental health issues along with sleep apnea. Speaking to a professional therapist has helped me enormously to manage my anxiety and depression. BetterHelp is online therapy, and it's much more affordable than in-person sessions. You can get matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/Emma. That's betterhelp.com/Emma. It's great that you spotted that in him. I think that it's so, like, I had my older daughter. I would kind of, like, just because of my experience with having a very narrow high arch palate and all, I'm basically the poster child for sleep apnea. So I was a mouth breather as a child. I developed low and forward tongue posture. I have the high arch palate. Just everything not going for me. And I had terrible allergies and all this. So a lot of that has fed into my sleep apnea. And so with my oldest daughter, I was just, like, obsessed with how is she breathing, like, how's her tongue posture and all this kind of stuff. But it was actually my younger daughter who ended up, she had her tonsils removed, and that seemed to just solve her sleep issues. So she hasn't had any problems ever since. But it does make you think when you have, you have your experience with your mom and my personal experience, it makes you really look out for those things.
You know, I really had a hard time. I went through therapy probably about 9 years because I had so much guilt that I didn't do enough, right? And as I've matured and gotten older and a little bit wiser, it was lack of education. It was lack of awareness. Should she have gotten tested? Should she have gone to a doctor? And a lot of primary care doctors, a lot of cardiologists are starting to realize that they're the first line of defense.
Yes.
So education is really, really key with anything in general, is my opinion.
Yeah, definitely. And I think also, like, there's a lot of doctors who are not receiving enough training in sleep and sleep disorders. So, even doctors are missing this in people a lot. So, I mean, I'm sure that you've been through it all in therapy, but like, it's not just average people that don't know this information. A lot of doctors don't know it either if they don't specialize in that area.
You know, in my email signature, it says sleep deserves a seat at the table. Sleep, in my opinion, oftentimes in the clinical world, we're the redheaded stepchild.
Yeah.
But then when it hits the fan and you go in for a stroke or heart attack, you're not breathing, you have an enlarged heart. There's so many physical ailments
Yeah.
that are contributing to that, that if we have early detection, and my whole thing with EnsoData is, because we're reducing the time and our accuracy, how many more patients could you get early treatment and save lives?
That's one thing that I always find kind of odd in the whole sleep apnea realm when I go to conferences or speak to different people, because I feel like sometimes, I mean, there's some tremendous clinicians who are doing great
Yes.
work and collaborating and all of that. But I often find it funny because you'll have dentists and doctors locked in this, like, which therapy is the best therapy discussion. Whereas I'm like, which therapy is the best therapy for the individual person? And there's so many people out there that still need to be diagnosed. Let's focus on that. And
And I
there's going to
really
be
believe,
plenty of patients to go around.
well, I believe in collaboration, right? So what if the cardiologist worked with, as you pointed out, the dentist?
Yep.
And the dentist is the one that first sees the airway, and the cardiologist, and then they work with the sleep doctors,
Yeah.
right? And can help more. It really is simplistic, but it's not, to save more lives. Because if you can imagine you're not breathing, what it does to your brain, and depression, and you're tired.
Yeah.
And I won't name names, but someone I love tremendously was so tired, had to pull over on the side of the road at 8:30 on the way to work to take a nap.
Yeah. That's
That's not
how I
funny.
felt for like 10 years.
Oh my
Yeah.
gosh. What does that do to your
It's
overall
nothing
emotional
good.
state?
Yeah.
And then if you don't go into REM, what does that do when your brain is starting to, clean out the
Yeah, that's
plaque and
one of the things, like, that's pretty much partly why I started my podcast, just so I got to speak to all these really interesting people. But one of the researchers I talked to, Dr. Alan Pack, he's talking all about people like me who have gone undiagnosed for a long time and then are on CPAP, so they're getting enough oxygen now, but what did that do to their brain for the however long they went undiagnosed before? Because I have persistent, like, pretty bad brain fog. It doesn't really matter what I do. And I don't think we have enough research at this point to really know. But just as a person living with it, I feel like something not great happened to my brain over those 10 years that I wasn't getting enough oxygen.
I wait for the day where we can have quantitative evidence, right? To
Yeah.
say, yes,
Right.
if you don't have sleep apnea, this and this and this is going to happen. We're not there yet. We can speak to it
Right.
on a qualitative
Yeah.
level, but I'm hoping for that day so we can say, check, 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 do this, this, and this. But
Yeah.
I think it is changing, but I love what you're doing because it is about awareness and it is about,
We're working
education.
on it.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you sharing your story and telling us a little bit about Enzo Data. It's been great.
You're welcome.
Thanks so much for listening. I love hearing from you. If you'd like to be featured in an upcoming episode, please email me at sleepapneastories@gmail.com. That's also the place to get in touch if you just want to say hi or ask a question. Alternatively, you can always reach me on Instagram. My handle there is @sleepapneastories. If you're enjoying the podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen. This really helps a wider audience to find the episodes, and I really appreciate it.